Today's shiur is for Schus, for Shalom ben Bracha, for Refuah Shleima. Today's shiur is Masechta Ksubos Daf Nun. We will begin on Daf Nun Amar Aleph, the third line. Begins the Gemara Amar of Ilu. B'usha Skinu, in Usha they instituted a rule that a mevazbez ay vazbez yoisa nechaimish. A person who is giving tzedakah should not give away more than a chaimish. He should not give away more than 20%. And the Pasha Pshat, why a person should not give away more than 20%, is as Rashi explains, that he should not end up being a burden on people. And as the Ran goes on to explain, the halacha is that Asei Shabbat Chachol Val Tetzarech Lebrius, as much as one is supposed to honor the Shabbos and do whatever he can for Shabbos, still, the halacha is he should rather keep Shabbos simple than spend his money and have to rely on other people. The Pesach Tshuva says then if somebody spends all his money on tzedakah, then he won't have any money left over to fulfill all the other requirements that the halacha wants from him. And Taina Mihochi says, the Gemara, the Braisa teaches us, Hamavazvaz Ayivazvaz Yosim Chaimish, a person who's spending money in stock should not spend more than 20%. Shem Yitzdarach Lebrius, we are concerned he's going to have to rely on other people then. There was indeed somebody who wanted to spend more than 20%, and his friend did not allow him to do so. Umanu, who was that individual? Rabbi Yeshevov. Vamilai, it was Rabbi Yeshevov. It was Rabbi Yeshevov who wanted to spend that much money. And his chaver did not allow him to do so. Umanu, who was the friend that prevented him? Rabbi Kiva. I'm Rabbi Nachavi Tamer of Yaakov, my crop. Based on which pasuk is this halacha taught? Says the Gemara, the pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu says, V'chol asher titen li aser esren alach. I'll give you aser esren alach. So Mefarshim ask, how could there be a question, where do we learn this from a pasuk? We just learned that it was a takanas usha. So the Meram Shif explains that usha would have never instituted such a rule if they had not had somewhere in the Torah precedent for this. Ask them whenever Leidam is Surah Basla Surah Kama. The Pasuk says that we should give 2 times 10, which is a total of 20%. But if we think about it, that we start with $100 and we give 10%, we have given away $10. Now we have 90. If we give away another 10%, we're giving away 9, which is not 20%, it's a total of 19. 20% is 20, answers the Gemara. The wording of the Pasuk of Aser Asren Aloch, Amar Ravashi, Asren Alabasru Kikama, to teach us that both Meisers should be equivalent one to the other. So if the first one is 10, the second one is 10, equal 20. And of course, the Mefarshim, I saw the Meshita ask this question, if what the Torah is trying to teach us is that we should give 20%, so why does the Torah say Aser Asrena? The Torah should say give 20%. So the Shita quoting the Rambam says, from here we learn that a person, if he's given the option to give tzedakah, he could give it in one of two ways. He could give one major donation, or he could give a combination of smaller donations. What is better, one big donation or a number of small donations? The fact that the pasuk says Asa Asrena breaks it up into different donations, from here we see that it's more appropriate to give a number of small donations than to give one large donation. The Yaris Devash explains that when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, so Klal Yisrael's Panosa was very clearly coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it was very clear how we all survived through the Yad Hashem. After the Churban HaBayis, we lost that direct contact with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what the Gemara means to say, as we said in our previous year, that Klal Yisrael, after the Churban HaBayis, ended up in Usha. And what the Gemara means to say, that now, that we are in a place of Usha. Now we're in a place of Golus. Our Panasa is much more limited. And since we're much more limited, we have to think about how much we could give to Tzedakah. Furthermore, the Mefarshim teach many, many halachas. When we speak about this halacha of Mevazbez al Yevazbez Yoyseh, the Baal HaTanya, in his Egeres HaTshuva, says that if somebody is giving tzedakah as a way of doing tshuva, as the Pasuk says, b'chato'echa b'tzedakah proik, by giving tzedakah, that's how we could have a Yeshua, we could have from the Averis that we've done, then the 20% limit doesn't apply. And as I saw the Bnei Yisachar in his Sefer Agra DeParka quotes the Shulchan Aruch Rav, and he says, only someone that has not done Averis has this halacha that we learned about the 20% limit. But somebody who unfortunately has done Averis and he wants to reconnect himself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and one of the ways we reconnect ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by giving tzedakah, that there's no limit to the tzedakah. Moreover, he explains that one of the ways a person is able to do tzedakah, a person is able to connect himself, is because Klai Yisrael Reivim Zeh L'Zeh, all of Klai Yisrael are responsible one for the other. So says the Bnei Yisachar, if we see that there are people doing Averis, then we're somewhat at fault for their doing the Averis. And the way that could be corrected is by giving tzedakah, The Chofetz Chaim in the Sefer Sefer Avos Chesed, Chel Beis Perik Chof Oischei explains. He says that even though we're learning that a person should give only 20%, even though there's so many great needs, so why are we limited to 20%? He says that what we're trying to teach, part of what Chazal was trying to teach, is a person has to be careful on how he spends his money. And if a person will become accustomed, even if it's for tzedakah purposes, to give indiscriminately, he'll start living that kind of a life where he spends money indiscriminately. And that was something that Chazal wanted to avoid, and that's why they put on the 20% limit. They asked the Baal Shem that he gave more than 20% to tzedakah. And they asked the Baal Shem Tov, how are you giving more than 20%? We just learned in our Gemara that a mevazbez al yevazbez yoseh b'chaymish. He says, what the Gemara means to say is as follows. Hamavazbez, if you are an individual that giving money to tzedakah is hard for you, you're a person that when you give tzedakah, it's like a biza, it's difficult for you. So you have a 20% limit. But somebody who doesn't feel that way, I saw the other Mefarshim explain, Hamavazbez, when you give tzedakah, you feel as if money is being stolen from you. So a person who has that attitude to giving tzedakah, such an individual should not give more than 20%. But if somebody gives tzedakah and he doesn't view it as something's being taken away from him, on the contrary, he views it as an opportunity that he should be able to give tzedakah, that person could give more than 20%. Moreover, I saw that the Paiskim want to suggest that this 20% limit is when a person is giving tzedakah under normal circumstances. But if you have a situation where somebody approaches you and he's desperate for tzedakah, then you giving him more than 20% is permissible. Moreover, the Chofetz Chaim in the Sefer Chavetz Chesed, Chelik Beis Simen Chof, says that when we speak about the 20% limit, that's when we're giving tzedakah to people who need help for their income. But if somebody's giving tzedakah for hachzakas haTorah, if somebody is giving tzedakah to help a person learn Torah, there's no limit. Certainly, explains the Chofetz Chaim, that if somebody's involved in a Yisachar Zvulun arrangement where he's supporting someone else with its tzedakah, then halacha is that you could give much more than 24% tzedakah. And in fact, the Chofetz Chaim explains in his Sefer Shaar Olam, that we know Chazal, the pasuk teaches us, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakas Es Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to have Olam Hazeh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have Olam Haba. And one, as we say it every day in our tefillah, V'chaye Olam Nata B'Sacheinu. How is a person able to have V'chaye Adam Lata B'Sacheinu? That's by learning Torah. And if a person, for whatever reason, explains the Chofetz Chaim, is not able to learn Torah himself, so the way he could get the schus of Torah is by supporting those to learn Torah. And such an individual is not giving tzedakah for himself. He's giving tzedakah for Torah, for his chayei olam. And therefore, he's not limited to the 20% limit. Moreover, actually, says the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim says that we say every day in Krishma, V'avtas Hashem, Elokecha b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol ma'idecha. And the definition of b'chol ma'idecha, as the Gemara Masechta, the Brachas Daf Samach Gimel teaches us, b'chol ma'moincha. Says the Chofetz Chaim, what we're saying over there is that we want to reach the Madrega of a haftas Hashem Elokecha. And the Pasuk gives us a number of ways how to reach that Madrega. And one of the ways is that b'chol ma'idecha, using all of the income, all of the assets that we own to become close to Hashem through learning Torah or to support those that are learning Torah. Moreover, says the Chofetz Chaim, that when we speak in our Gemara about the 20% limit, says the Chofetz Chaim, that's regarding individual where it's not a situation of pikuach nefesh. But if it's a situation of pikuach nefesh, that the person who needs the tzedakah is kidnapped or anything like that, where the person needs that tzedakah to survive, then the 20% limit doesn't apply, and we should give even more than 20%. The Rama says that this halacha of 20% applies to all mitzvahs asay, and therefore the Rama says that a person is exempt from spending money on a mitzvah, tefillin, dalaminim, if it will cost him more than 20% of his earnings and his assets. Drama, however, says that the 20% limit does not apply to mitzvah leisasei. So, for example, he says, if somebody has limited income and in order to spend money on kosher food, it's going to cost him more than 20% of his income, that will not give him a right, of course, to spend more to eat non-kosher food, even though it's costing him so much more of his income. Tosfos, the very maskil Achvei, says that somebody who refused to give tzedakah not only is over the mitzvah asay of Pesach to tiftach es yadcha, but as we quoted in our previous shiur, Tosfos says we were discussing there how the Beis Din could have forced somebody to give tzedakah. And Tosfos says because it also involves mitzvah leisasei. The leisasei is leisametz is levavcha, leisikvitz is yotcha. So as the Macheshes, if the Rama just taught us that when it comes to mitzvah leisasei, there is no 20% limit, and every time we give tzedakah, as Tosfos indicated, as the Macheshes, we're dealing with a mitzvah loisa say, why is there a 20% limit according to Rama? We should have to give more than 20% to avoid not violating the mitzvah loisa say of loisam tzis levavcha v'loisik b'tzis yotcha. So the Macheshes makes a differentiation which between a mitzvah loisa say which involves a passive violation versus a mitzvah leisasei, which involves an active violation. In other words, eating non-kosher food is something that I'm doing. So in order to avoid not eating kosher food, I have to be ready to spend more than 20% to eat food that I'm allowed to eat. Not giving tzedakah is passive. He says, when the Rama speaks about it being passive, about mitzvah slice to say, he's only talking about active mitzvah slice to say, active mitzvah slice to say, not passive mitzvah slice to say. Then the Mechashev gives a different teretz. He says, although the mitzvah tzedakah carries with it the mitzvah say of a soich tiftach, and the mitzvah slice to say of leisikvites for leisamitz, explains the Macheshes, those aren't really considered independent mitzvah slice say. In other words, there is an independent mitzvah slice say not to eat non-kosher food. He says the mitzvah slice say of leisikvites and leisamitz are only here to strengthen the mitzvah say of a soich tiftach. So says the Macheshes, the Rama was only referring to an independent mitzvah loisa say. But when the mitzvah loisa say is only here to support or strengthen a mitzvah say, that's not the mitzvah loisa say that Rama was speaking about. The Chochmas Adam says, we've been learning throughout our shir, we quoted Rashi, that why did Usha institute this 20% rule? So we learned because we were concerned that if somebody's going to give away all of his money to tzedakah, he'll become impoverished, he won't be able to continue. Says the Chochmas Adam that if somebody is very wealthy, and if he gives away even more than 20%, he still will have the ability to live and do what he needs to do to continue living a life as he needs to live, then the 20% rule doesn't apply. There's a very interesting tshuva for Ramosha, where Ramosha discusses, based on the Rama that we just learned, that when it comes to mitzvah asay, a person is not obligated to spend, a person shouldn't spend more than 20%. So Ramosha says there are really different types of mitzvah asay. He says, for example, if a person is chas v'shalom of limited means, and he can't give more than 20, and giving and buying dalaminim will cost him more than 20%, the halacha tells us he doesn't have to spend more than 20%. Why? So Ramosha explains, because the mitzvah of dalaminim is not a mitzvah where the Torah requires you to spend money. One is not obligated to spend money on dalaminim. If somebody receives the dalaminim as a gift, he's perfectly mekayim the mitzvah of tzedakah. He's perfectly mekayim the mitzvah of dalaminim. But says Rav Moshe, if it's a mitzvah that involves spending money, that's the way the mitzvah is performed. What is the example? The mitzvah of pidyon haben. The mitzvah of pidyon haben is that one has to give chametz shleim to a kohen. So says Rav Moshe, the Torah told us to spend money in order to be able to fulfill that mitzvah. He says, in that situation, where the mitzvah is fulfilled, where the Torah wants us to fulfill the mitzvah by spending money, of course there is no 20% cap said, and therefore one should spend more than 20%. Another exception that I saw that the Poskim suggest to the 20% cap, one is a case where somebody is giving tzedakah b'shvil sheyichye b'ni. A family member is not well, and he's giving tzedakah that for schus, for refuah shleima. There is no 20% limit. And another place where I saw that there is no 20% limit is when you're lending money. In other words, when you're giving tzedakah, so that money you're not going to get back. And as we keep on repeating in our shir, Chazal were concerned that one should not become impoverished. But if one is lending the money, and that money will be returned to him, there is no 20% limit. The Sefer Tal Oiris speaks and says there was a great Talmud Chacham. His name was Rav Avram Abish. And Rav Avram Abish spent more than 20 years, 20% on stock-up. And his colleagues asked him, we just learned the Gemara, Mavazbaz Ali Vazbaz Yosef Mechaymish. So he said that every time I give tzedaka, he says, I feel that it's a situation of pikuach nefesh. And since I feel that it's a situation of pikuach nefesh, when it's pikuach nefesh, we learned that we don't have that 20% limit, and that's why I give even more than 20. That's when I give even more than 20% for tzedakah. Moreover, I saw that the Gemara says the pasuk Pirkei Avos, it says marbet tzedakah marbet shalom. So he said. So Rav Avadya Yosef used to explain that Tamid Chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam. Tamid Chachamim brings shalom to the world. Everything that we're learning in our Gemara, says Rav Avadya Yosef, about the 20% limit is only for tzedakah. For tzedakah, there's a 20% limit. But when we're speaking about shalom, nowhere do we find that there's a 20% limit. Since under those circumstances, there is no 20% limit, he says that to support Talmid Chachamim, we could give even more than 20%. Amrav Simi Bar Ashi, Shmuz Halala, we've been learning in our shiurim different takonis that the Gemara has been quoting from, that Erev Illis said from Usha. He says, if you pay attention, mismatis v'holchus, every one of the rules that we've been learning in the Gemara, the names of the people, there are less and less names. The first takana, Rish Lakish said in the name of Yosef Bachanina. The second takana was just said in the name of Rish Lakish. And this takana was just said by Rav Illo and not in the name of anyone. The Simonach, and the way to remember is Ketanim, Kasu, or Bizvizu. The first halacha was regarding the obligation to support Ketanim, one's children. The second one was regarding Kisfu, that somebody wrote over his assets to his children. And now we're talking about Bizbazu, how much stock to give. Amrav Yitzchak, Bushe Skinu, another rule they made in Ushu, was She'odam Mizgalgaloi in Benoi, a person should try nicely to convince his son to learn Torah, Ad Shtei Mesrishon, until he's 12 years old. Bikan ve'elach, after that, Yardim Malachayev, at that point, he has to demand, he has to force him to learn. And the way I saw many Mefarshim explain, that really it begins at 10, but at the time to learn, as we're going to see, Gemara Mishnah. But what the Gemara means to say here is that at that age, we first start teaching to him nicely. And then if that doesn't work, then we have to go with a little stronger hand. Any, ask the Gemara of Amalei Rav of Shmuel Bashelis, Batsa Bashet, when the child is less than 10, loit to Kabul, Bashtis, once he's 6 years old, Kabul, force to accept him to learn Torah, and not only accept him to begin learning Torah, however, the Sofle Keturah, force it down like they force feed sometimes an animal. Answers the Gemara in. Suffer like Keturah. To force him to learn is at the age of six. Mio, but that ain't a Yardi Melechayev. Our Gemara introduced a new status, and that's Yardi Melechayev. Yardi Melechayev, that we should be very tough with him, is only Allah Shtei Mesr Shana, only when he's 12 years old. Bibai say Melech Kasha. Hala Mikra, when it comes to teaching Chumash, that we start by six. Hala Mishnah, when it comes for Mishnah, that we start by 10, by 12 at an older age. So we see from here, as I said before, Taisus the Ramaskal Shea says, at the early, first when we start learning, we try to teach them in a nice way. Only if they don't want to accept, then we have to start being a little stronger. Dama Abba, Dama Abai, Amrli Aim. My mother told me, actually, as we often say in Shas, when Abai is quoting his mother, it's not really his mother. because Abaye was actually a Yosem, as the word Abaye implies, Ashebcha Yerucham Yosem. Aim is the one, is the woman, the nurse who raised him. Barshit Lemikra, a child at the age of 6 is when we begin teaching him Chumash. By Esser, when he's 10 years old, Lemishnah, that's when we start teaching him Mishnayis. By Tlesa, when he's 13 years old, Letanesa Meis Leis, that he has to fast the full 24 hours of Yom Kippur. Ubetanoikis, by Tresa, by a girl who becomes a bar mitzvah, bas mitzvah, a year earlier, so she becomes bas mitzvah at 12, and that's when she has to face the whole fast day. That's the Pash Pshat in the Gemara, that those that want to say that we're talking about the year before, that a boy, as he enters the year before his 13th year, 12, he has to fast, and a girl by 11. And so Machlokes Rishonim, when we speak about the mitzvah of chinuch of children to fast, does it mean that they have to fast a full day in anticipation and in chinuch, or they don't have to fast the whole day? Hi, Bashit, if you have a 6-year-old, the Tarklei Akiva, B'yoyim the Mishlam Shis, that was bitten by a scorpion on the day that he's 6 years old, Loi Chai. There's nothing, that he will not be able to survive unless we apply the following therapy. Maya Susei, Merarta the Daya Chavirta, we have to take the gallbladder from a white bird, B'shikra, mix it with beer, nishafei, and smear it on the child, ulanishke, and afterwards give him the ability and give it to him to drink, and that way he'll have a refuah. Furthermore, says the Gemara, hai bar shata, a 1-year-old child, the Tarklei Zabura, that was bitten by a bee, b'yoyim the mishla shata, on the day he becomes 1-year-old, loy chai. He will not be able to survive unless we do the following refuah. Maya Susei, atzav to the dikla b'maya, we should take the moss, the green, that grows around the tree, soak it in water, nishafayu, and then shmir on the child, v'nishkiye, and then give him to drink from it. Amrav Katina, kol machnas es benoi, pachs b'meshana, somebody takes his son to learn Torah when he's even less than 6 years old, rotz achrav, somebody will have to run after him. So the Pash Pshan in the Gemara is that what the Gemara is saying is that he will always be weak. A child should not be forced to learn before he's old enough to be able to deal with, have the strength to learn. Ikadamri, but the other version is just the opposite. Chavera of Rotzen Achrov, Venemagiyoi say. Somebody who got this head start on learning, nobody will ever be able to catch up to him. Says the Gemara, Tvai Isnu, and both are correct. Cholosh v'gomer, if he will be weak, but he'll be a Talmud Chacham. Ibai Seima, or another way to understand the two versions, Had the Kachish, if you have a child that's weak, so such a child that's weak is a child that you should not force to learn at a young age. Had the bari, but if the child is Baruch Hashem healthy, then there's no reason, then that child could begin learning with him at a younger age. Amar Rav Yosef Rav Chanina, Bushes, you know, Isha Shemachra B'nechsim B'log. We know that when a woman gets married, there are different types of assets she brings into the marriage. One of those assets is Nechsim B'log. Nechsim B'log really remain hers, but the husband is entitled to the peiris from this Nechsim B'log. In other words, if there's buildings, he's entitled to the rent. If there's property, if there are trees that grow, he's entitled to the fruit. So, Ha'ish Shemachim Nechsim B'log. So since, as we're saying, the woman is the owner of those Nechsim B'log, and she sold off those properties, B'chaya Bala, as long as her husband was alive, while her husband was still alive, or Mesa, and then she predeceased her husband, Habal Moitzim Yadlan Kuchas. Because even though, as we just explained, the husband's ownership in the Nechsim Lug was only for the Paris, but here, where she died, he is her Yairish. And since she was her Yairish, she had no right to sell those properties, even though they were in her name, because he had those. He has that ownership, and therefore, the usha they made up that even if she did sell those properties, and even though those properties are on her name, the halacha is that he could take back the property. The sale is only valid if the husband will predecease her, or the husband will divorce her. There's a machlokes amongst the Rishonim, how do we apply this rule? That means that she sold these assets while she and her husband were alive, and then she predeceased the husband. What is the halacha? Does he not only, of course, as the Gemara says, he takes back those assets, does he also take back the payers of those assets that these buyers took till this episode, or the payers they get to keep, and only from now on he takes back his assets? Why did they make this rule? So Rashi explains, Chazal were concerned for Eva. Chazal were concerned that there should be no disputes between the husband and wife, and they knew if the wife would have a right to sell off these assets in such a manner, it could cause machlokes. Another pshat that the Shita suggests is that when a couple gets married, as we often discuss, and the father gives his daughter Nichsi Malug, that was exactly the father's intention. The father's intention was that the husband should have the Nichsi Malug as an adunya. If she could sell off those assets, the whole concept of nadunya will fall away. Another pshat that the Rashbam suggests is the people who bought these assets should have been well aware that this sale may not really come to fruition. And therefore, when they bought it, they bought it with that risk. And sometimes when you take a risk, you end up losing. Ask Rav Yitzchak ben Yosef Rav Avua. Rav Yitzchak ben Yosef found Rav Avua standing amongst the crowd on Usha. He said, who was the originator of this rule? Amale Rabbi Yossi Bechanina. Was Rabbi Yossi Bechanina. Says the Gemara, Tani Minei Arben Zimnin. He learned this halacha from him 40 times. V'damale Commander Monach Lebekisei. And it was like in his pocket. So the Gra and many other Mepharshim point out that sometimes the Gemara says that they learned something, and it was manach lebekisei. It was like in his pocket. And sometimes when the Gemara says that they learned something, the Gemara says it was damalei kmanach lebekufsa, as it was in a basket, in a barrel. What is the difference? So explains the Gra. The Gra says that the Gemara, first of all, is teaching us that if you don't learn something, if you don't review something 40 times, then you're not going to remember it. There are those that want to suggest that was specifically in the time of Chazal, where in the time of Chazal, they did not have Torah Shebal Peh was not written, and everything that they learned was just Torah Shebal Peh. So in order to remember something, you needed to review it 40 times. But then a step further. The Gemara is saying that when you reviewed it, and as our Gemara just said, 40 times, it was like a pekise, it was like something in your pocket. The Gemara in Masechet Baba Metzia says that if somebody has something valuable in his pocket, he constantly has to check his pocket that it's still there. So the explanation is that if you learn something 40 times, you know it, but it's like something that's in your pocket. Something that's in your pocket, you have to review. Something that's in your pocket, you have to review all the time. Just like something that's in your pocket, you have to check on something times. When you learn something 100 times, then it's kamanach lebekufsa. Then it's like in a protected basket, in a protected safe that you don't need to review to that level. The pasuk says in Tehillim, Ashrei shomri mishpat, oisit tzedakah b'chol eis. So the question is, v'chi ef shel aset tzedakah b'chol eis, is it possible to do tzedakah all the time? Says the Gemara, Darsha Rabbeinu Shabbat Yavna, Vamrele Rabbi Leza was the one that said it. Zazon Bonav Benoisuk Shtahem Ketanim. What the Gemara is referring here to is somebody who supports his children when they are young. It's somebody who raises orphans in his home, and not only does he raise them, but also Masion, he marries them off. So the Ksav Sofer says when Rabbi Nisenu Shebizovan first they said Hazon, Bona Benoisov, and by Yosem V'Yosoyma, it doesn't say Hazon, one supports, but rather it says Hamagadl. So explains the Ksav Sofer that somebody who gives his children to eat is doing something that he's not obligated to do, as we've been learning. However, when it says Megadl, doesn't mean just to give them food to eat, but rather the definition of Megadl means to make sure that they grow up as Torah Jews as they're supposed to grow up. So he explains, every parent has an obligation to be Megadl, to make sure to raise his children to be Torah Jews. He isn't, as we've been learning in our sugyas, obligated to financially support them. So that's why the Gemara uses the word hazon for his own children. However, when it comes for those who are not his children, so there he doesn't have any relation. He doesn't have any full-fledged obligation. His obligation is whatever he does is extra. And therefore, just making sure that he's megadol, that he raises them to be Torah Jews, is already doing something that is already doing tzedakah b'chol eis. I saw that a nice pshat. Here the Gemara says that Asherim Shomrei Mishpat Oseh Tzedakah b'chol eis. What is somebody will think that I will support my children, and that the Gemara calling here is doing tzedakah, and by doing so, I will be able to exempt myself from giving any other tzedakah. So says the pasuk, "Va'al yavoi b'chol eis al hakodesh." If a person wants to take that approach, that the tzedakah that he gives is supporting his family, va'yava b'chol eis, using that type of b'chol eis approach is not the way el hakodesh. That's not the way that you're going to get into the kodesh hakodashim. That's not the way you're going to grow. A person should giving tzedakah is not just, you can't just absolve yourself by supporting your family. You have to think about other people as well. Another pshat that I saw in when the Gemara says says that there's certain people when they're doing well, they're able to give tzedakah, but when they're not doing so financially well, they don't give tzedakah. Teaches us the Gemara, a person, no matter what their financial situation is, should always be giving tzedakah. The pasuk further says, "Ha'im va'oshev beis v'tzikasa imedes laad." Rav Huna v'achiz decharama zeh loy matorim elamdoi. Who is that? Who's the person that tzikasa imedes laad is a person that learns Torah, and not only does he teach Torah, does he learn Torah, but he teaches us the Torah. He teaches Torah to other people. In other words, a person thinks that when he gives tzedakah, he's losing. He's giving away money. A person thinks when he spends time teaching Torah, it takes away from the time that he could have been learning Torah. So the pasuk says, "Tzikasai medes lad." You don't lose by giving from your time to teach other people Torah. Somebody who has svarim or mashil malcherim, and he takes those svarim and he lends them to other people. That stalker, the person that person will have tzedakah, because all the people who learn will have from him. But I did see a pshat that a person who wants to buy Sfarim, and instead of buying Sfarim, he goes and gives the money to Tzedakah, that Tzedakah, Medes Lad, he took away from something that he wanted to give Tzedakah to others. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Rei Vonel V'necha Shama Yisrael, Amrav Shumalevi, Kivin Shabonel V'necha, if somebody, Baruch Hashem, has children, Shama Yisrael, because when we have that, when we have children, Le'osla De'chalitz V'yibam, our wives won't have to have chalitz on yibam. And we know that, as we learned quite extensively when we learned Masechta Yevamos, chalitza is a very embarrassing experience, and we won't have to have that embarrassing experience. Rav Shmuel ben Nachmanio, Mekivin Shabano b'necha, Shalom Adayon Dayon El Yisrael, the Layoslin Tzuyei. When it's very clear you have sons and you have daughters, and as we've discussed, then we'll learn a Mitzvah Shem Masech Bava Basra, where the Torah gives us very clear instructions, who are the Yarshim, who are the people that are the Yarshim, who are individuals that come first, and who are the ones that don't come first. By having Baruch Shem children, then all the halachas in the Torah about Hilchos Yerusha kick in, and since all those halachas kick in, there won't be any room for dispute. So we learned in the Mishnah, Zu Medrash Darash of Elazel of Nechachamim, that Habonim Yerushu Vabonis Yezainu. Meis Habonim, if the son died, any Yarshim El Mesis Av. Af Habonis En Nezolus El Achamesis Av. So we see that there are two rules that Chazal said. One is that the Chazal put into the Ksuba. So says the Gemara, Yosef Kamedra of Avnuna. Yosef Avnuna Kama, Kshem Shen Habonim Yarshim El Menakarka. Hilchas Yerusha only from the Karka. The Gemara is going to ask on this soon. Kach en abonis nezoinis. This that we say that the daughters get supported from the estate of their father is elemen akarka. And at this point, the Gemara is saying that if the father did not leave over Karka, there would not be an obligation to support them. Says the Gemara, Avish alei kol alma. The entire community got very upset. Is that true? The Shavik Ara, only someone who left over real estate, who the Yaroslav B'nai, that's when his children inherit him. The Loy Shavik Ara, if he didn't leave over real estate, Loy Yaroslav B'nai, Amma Le Rav Yosef, says the Gemara, Rav Yosef responded, what I'm referring to here is Dilma Ksubas Didin Dichrin Kamamar. As we mentioned in the previous year when we spoke about Ksubas B'nai Dichrin, that if a father wrote a nedunya to his daughter in the ksuba, and his daughter died before her husband, so we discussed that the halacha says that the husband becomes the owner of that nedunya, and then when he dies, his children, his sons, are his yarshim. But what Chazal saw, that when that is applied, it could be that a grandfather, a man, is going to want to marry off his daughter to a certain man, but he's concerned that if his daughter predeceases her husband will ultimately be her husband's children, who are the children of the tzara of his daughter, will be the owners of his property. So because of that, Chazal put into the ksuba, a ksuba spendendichrin, that his daughter's children should be the ones to get that ksuba, that the dunya that he brought in. Teaches us the Gemara that the halacha of ksubas benin dikrin only applies to real estate. Amalei, so Rav Hunim said, Mar, the Gavra Rabba, you who are big Talmud Chacham, Yodamai Kemina, were able to understand what I said. Aram Chiba Yosef, Rav Zah Mechita Dalia, there was a situation where somebody died, and he left over Yusimus, and they wanted to be supported. And Rav said that they should be supported from grain that he left over in his warehouse, even though obviously grain is not real estate, it's metaltlin. Iboiluhu. Panosa Hava, when we speak about this halacha, for what was the money used? Was the money used for Panosa to marry them off? Or Mayaliyah? And what was meant when he said the chitim shaliyah meluyah de'av? We have to figure out how much the father would have spent on supporting his daughters if he was alive. And that's what is meant, that Rav said that should be given to the daughters for their wedding needs. Ukra Shmuel, as Shmuel taught us, the halacha is, Tam Shmuel, Lefanosa. When a father passed away, and we're using his assets to marry off his daughter, Shaman Bi'av, we try to evaluate how much the father would have used for marrying off his children. Adumah, what it means, Nizaini Mamashava. They were talking here about supporting the daughters that were left after the father passed away. Umay Aliyah, and if that's the definition, what does Chitin Shaliyah means? B'dvarim HaTayim Shamar Ba'aliyah, that from the wonderful halachas that were said that day in the attic, Damar of Yitzchak Ba'yoseh B'aliyah Eskinu, they established in the attic, in this place where the Talmid Chacham gathered, Shibonis Nizaynis Min HaTatlan, that the girls get supported even from a Tatlan. So again, what does that mean? Toshma, B'deidr of the B'noi Achved of Chir Bar Abba, have Metaltlin the Yasmi. He was the administrator of Metaltlin, the owned by Yusaymim. Osl Kameh the Shmuel, and the Yusaymis, the female orphans, came to Shmuel, Amalei, and Shmuel said to B'noi Zil Zoyin, go take those Metaltlin. Shmuel told Rabbi Noi, take those metatlin to support these girls. My laugh, lemezayne. Didn't he mean to say that they should be supported from these metatlin? And this is clearly an indication that he followed the opinion of Yitzchak ben Yosef, Sfirlei, that metatlin are used for support. Says the Gemara Loi, that isn't the raya. Hosam lepanosa havei, it was being used to marry them off. V'shmuel tamei, and what Shmuel meant to say was, Dama Shmuel lefanosa, when it comes to marry off the daughters, when the father is no longer here, Shavan Be'av, we determine how much the father would have spent from his assets to marry off his daughter. Says the Gemara, have Uvda ben Hadar. There was an episode in Hadar that a person died who didn't leave over any real estate, and the daughters wanted to be supported from the metatlin that the father had left over. V'don dainu the Hadar b'disa, and the dayanim of Hadar, the dayanim of Dandar said they should be given. Similarly, there was a story like this in Pumbadisa. V'agba Rav Chana b'bizna, and Rav Chana b'bizna said that the girls should be supported from the matatlan. Amalei Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman said to all these dayanim, zu ahadrun, give back to the yisoyimim the matatlan. V'loi, and if you don't do so, if you won't paskin that the money should be given back, then the halacha is mefadlin l'chol avdaichu v'enaichu. I'm going to take away from you that your homes to pay back the yisoyimim, because what you did was wrong. Rav Ami Rav Asi sova l'meizim matatlin. Rav Ami Rav Asi wanted to support the girls from the matatlin. Omer Rav Yaakov Idi milser Rav Yaichan Rav Shlokish le'avda be'uvda. Suddenly Rav Yaichan Rav Shlokish didn't want to support the girls from Matatlin. Atan avdei be'uvda, that's what you want to do. Rav Elazar says the Gemara, Sovel Amazim Matatlin. He wanted to support the girls from Matatlin. Amal Rav Fanav Shimon ben Yaakov, Rebbe, Yodani b'cha she'em b'disadin ato isa. I know that you're not doing it because you think the halakha is that way. Elam midas rachmonis. What you're doing is purely out of rachmonis pity on these girls. But you have to realize, by doing so, El Shem Yiril Talmidim, the Talmidim will see what you're doing. They won't recognize that this is a unique situation. And you have to think about the repercussions. There was an individual who came to Rabbi Yosef that wanted, regarding a Yusayma that wanted support. Give her from the dates, from the figs that are on top of the roof. If this person was owed money, and the such situation we have, would you have given him that those fruits? The halacha is, we only give karka. So he says, what I meant to say was, the chazla budja kamida. What I meant to say was, not to give him the actual fruit, what he meant to say was that fruit that's still attached, I meant to give. But he said, Says the Gemara, the halacha is that something that's ready to be cut, even though it has not yet actually been cut, the halacha views it as it's cut. So why are you saying, well, they're entitled to get those fruit because those fruits are still attached, but if they're ready to be cut, they're not considered halachically attached. Says the Gemara, I was referring to fruits that tzrichla dikla kamina. I was referring to fruits that are attached, and not only are they attached, but they still need the nourishment that they have from being connected to the tree. And only such fruits are considered mechubel lekarka. And since those fruits are considered mechubel lekarka, that's why they can be used to support the girls, but not detached, because agree that the halacha is for metatlin, you don't support the yusaimus.